Well, then you find out you with this 100% evidence that we have that this came from China and other countries. Now we all know it's an attack. And yes, a president would have to protect us. That's his number one thing, to protect us from an attack on our country. And everybody, I want to say this here. Every single person, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you know, this isn't about politics. Now this is about them just choosing our lives for us. This is everybody. I have Democrat friends are going, Mike, is this true? And I'm going, I go, yeah, it's true. And this, and they're afraid too, because they didn't vote for that.
You know what it is, Mike? I'm going to write a piece about this. Americans are naive when it comes to evil, when it comes to communist, atheistic worldview. We've had it so good in this country. The only reason I know about this is because my parents lived through this. My parents saw the satanic evil of Marxism and communists when they were growing up. My mother was in East Germany. She risked her life and everything to leave East Germany at age 17 because she saw the wickedness of Marxism and communism. My father saw it during the Greek Civil War. And I say all this because people need to understand what we're up against. We're not talking about Joe Biden. We're talking at Chinese communists infiltrating this government and effectively changing everything. If the president does not act, he would himself, it seems to me, be guilty, dramatically guilty, if he doesn't act, if any of what you're saying is true. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Listen, we got a few things to talk about. It's a slow news week. We'll find something to talk about. I thought I would bring on somebody that's become a friend of mine. He's a man of faith, a man of commerce, a friend of the President of the United States, and his name is Mike Lindell. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a slow week in the news, all right.
Yeah, there's nothing going on. A fake election. And of course, I say that in jest. I would never joke about something as serious about stealing a presidential election because, you know, that would be treason. You don't joke about a thing like treason. Mike, listen, we've got a lot to talk about here. I don't know where to start. Let's start with the fact that you, you've known the president for quite some time. You've been a supporter of his. And just the other day, you went to the White House to share some information with him that a lawyer had asked you to pass on about what he should do at this point. My question is, do you have genuine evidence of voter fraud, election fraud, the idea that foreign agents, foreign countries tampered with our election, which is to say, tried to subvert the voice of the American people. Nothing more serious than that, frankly, that anyone could talk about. You, it seems to me, have genuine evidence.
Right. That's what I was bringing to the president. And then the lawyer had to say, hey, if you're going there, take my sheets with too. But what I had was about a week ago, about 10 days ago now, it came out on the internet. As you know, since November 4th, Eric, every day, that's all I do, my own due diligence. I've dove into counties and everything and said, how could this happen? How could this happen? You know, this is a deviation. How could this happen? Well, about 10 days ago, there was a thing came out on the on Twitter, and it caught my eye right away. I'm going, wow. There was these charts that showed that these guys had inside the machines, and it showed where the fraud came from, the IP address of the computer, which country did it, the longitude and latitude of the country or of the computer, and then how many votes were flipped, and
who was putting this? Who was putting this out, and why would they put it out on Twitter? Who was this?
Well, this they had it on their own website too. It got tweeted out. It's the American Report. These guys, it's Mary Fanning and Alex Jones, they're Alan Jones. And they,
Mary Fanning and Alan Jones.
Right, right. And they've been investigating these things for years. That's what they do. They're investigative reporters, I think. Well, anyway, they what all reporters should be, right? You
know. Yeah, that's asking a little much today, but go ahead. Yeah.
But I looked at these. I go, wow, this is the smoking gun. Finally, all these deviations. You can see that there was foreign interference. I already had evidence, mathematical evidence from another group, that 100% proves that there was machine fraud, electronic fraud going to the internet. So I already had that, but you needed the who did it, the how it happened, and that. So anyway, I've tweeted it out on my own Twitter and taken down right away. Everybody was taken down that put this out there. And I'm going, wow, they took the president's Twitter's down and his social media is down. He needs to know about this. But I dug into it with them. I talked to Mary. I dug into it and actually talked to the guy that's got all the data. Okay. I actually talked to him. So I've seen, you know, other things, other data besides just this one sample that he has. Right. And I'm going, this is incredible. It actually shows that Donald Trump won 79,800,000 to 68 million. But I want to tell you the significance of that. The 68 million includes all the other voter fraud, which is the dead people voting, the minors voting, the illegals voting, all the organic cheating that went on, which could be upwards of another 2 million.
Now, the organic cheating, as you refer it to, sounds so good because it's organic. My wife and right. I try to go organic when we can. But organic cheating is effectively what Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and that team were going after. I know that Sidney Powell in the beginning was looking at the machine evidence, Dominion, and so on and so forth. So we have two kinds of problems. Of course, the one that pulls the trigger is foreign interference. So you're right. Saying that we have proof that foreign countries, I mean, this is, can we believe we're saying this? Foreign countries were involved, not just that they were trying to use social media, but they were actually involved somehow in the election itself. So what countries were involved in this, according to what you have?
According to what I have, China, there's Iran, Iraq, let's see here.
Iraq Russia. Also. Did you say Iraq?
Yeah, Iraq. But these are IP addresses and longitude and latitude. But I want to say this, you know, there was nine different kinds of cheating that went on, nine different kinds. And when you talk about, I want to get it clear to people that this is different. This is why this is so different and so important to everybody. I don't care what side of politics you're on. The other, you know, your kind where you had voter fraud, where you had people, ballot fraud, you know, different ballots that were shipped over in Georgia from China, which I had another group I helped finance that dug into that. And, then you have the dead people vote and all these different, you know, people voting. But here's the miracle of the election. The miracle that we have, that we're sitting in, is on 11/15 on election night, the algorithms broke in those machines, or where Donald Trump was going to win in spite of all the algorithms they put on the machines. Now, the significance of that is if we wouldn't have known that, we would have went to bed. And all the election would have been done at 3 a.m. and we would have said, oh, Biden won, but it was close. Well, that's not what happened. We all know that. They had to shut down and recalibrate those machines. Those I know specifics. I have spent now 7 days with this other group looking at the mathematics of what they did. And they turn this wheel. It turns the wheel so it ups the ante, so to speak. So you get counties like Fulton County, Georgia. They had to really go in there and grab votes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And all these machines were online. They're not supposed to be. They're online. So they go, that's where these countries interfere. Eric, China and other countries chose our president and many down ticket people too, including the two runoff Senate races in Georgia. A foreign country and foreign countries stole our election. And you know what? every American, every person, this is a matter of national security. We can't have elections like this. I mean, this truth will be revealed. And, you know, God's got his hand in all of this. But, you know, this is the miracle of the unveiling of all the fraud that can happen with electronic machines.
Well, the question, Mike, of course, is, does the president know the scope of this? See, I would guess that he has to, because he's always five steps ahead of everybody,
right.
And that he wouldn't even let on to you or to anybody that he knows it. But it would be my guess that he does know this. Now, if an American president knows that not just foreign actors, but our number one enemies in the world, China and Iran, that they would have done something like this to swing an election, he would have a constitutional obligation to do something about it. In which case, I would guess that he is meaning to do something about it, but not telling anyone. I just can't imagine where we are right now. It seems to me the strangest place anybody could be in, to have a president who looks like he's going to sail right out of office peacefully, and we're going to have Joe Biden inaugurated, when, for one thing, multiplied millions of Americans know, you know what, we're going to go to break in a second, but I just want to say, if millions and millions of Americans are convinced that this wasn't their voice speaking in the election, that's problem number one. Number two, you have this kind of evidence. I've been hearing about this since the election, effectively. In other words, Sidney Powell said that the president won by an absolute landslide. Where was he getting that information from? I've just got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. The same sources that they said was out there, the same sources, but they didn't have all the actual inside the machines at that time. Mathematics showed that there was something terrible that went on with these machines.
Okay. We're gonna be right back, folks. I'm talking to Mike Lindell. In case you're watching us on video, the Mike Lindell behind me is two-dimensional. The Mike Lindell to whom I'm speaking is 10-dimensional, and we'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. Folks, if you're listening to this program and you remember nothing else, remember this. When you go to MyPillow.com, use the code Eric. E-R-I-C. That's the most important. If you take nothing else away, if the country goes to heck, please use the code Eric. Okay, Mike Lindell, you're the main sponsor of this program. You've become a friend. You are not getting anything out of this. You are just a patriot who is horrified that the voice of the American people, that is called America, would be subverted in any way, much less by our own chief enemies, China and Iran. Just continue what you were saying, because you said that the actual numbers were 79,800. So it's
79 million.
So 80 million people voted for the president. 68 million voted for Joe Biden. And we believe that probably something like 2 million of that is kind of on the ground, local fraudulence and corruption. And malfeasance, dead people.
Here, Eric, I want to say this. So, you know, the lawyers that were working on this, and, you know, we all heard about the machines early on, and then everybody, you know, looking for the evidence for the machines. But you got to realize there was so much other cheating that was like low-hanging fruit. If you can go into a state like Georgia, like the president got on the phone with the Georgia Secretary of State, which, by the way, I mean, that guy, that's a whole nother topic, but what horrible thing that he's done to the United States, what he did in Georgia. The president asked him, said, hey, you have this many dead people, let's throw out a number, 6,000 that voted. You have minors that voted that were maybe 6,000. You had people that don't live in Georgia that were maybe 6,000. So he said, just give us two of them and we win Georgia, because it was 11,730 votes. And the Secretary of State said, those numbers aren't wrong. And then one of the president's guys said, well, we got them from you, sir. And he said, well, they're still wrong. I mean, it's what went on in our country is despicable with all these states with, you know, you go to Arizona, you take the dead people that voted. And these aren't just people say, oh, that's not true. Yes, the dead people. We actually have pictures of the gravestones, the birth certificates, and the death certificates. They were groups working in every state. So in Arizona, if you take the dead people and you take the non-res or the illegal, you know, in Arizona, go to Nevada. There was so much cheating going on in Nevada. You probably 60,000-70,000 votes.
I just have to say, you have to ask yourself, what kind of seared consciences are we dealing with? Human beings that would subvert the voice of the American people. That's treason. Let's be honest. There's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing but treason. It's monstrous. And I think we've gotten cynical. People don't believe in truth anymore. They don't believe in virtue. And they just go, everybody does it. And once you get to that point, America is effectively dead. So Let's put that to the side for a second. Let's talk about people who we expect not to believe in American values, like the Chinese communists and like the Iranians. The idea that they got involved in this is, as I say, that triggers, emergency war powers. Perhaps I'm.
You're not. Don't take it lightly. That is true. What happened when 10 days ago, when they finally just put out a piece of the evidence they had, the American report, they put this out. That was like everyone's going, what? It was not a little bit. It was millions of votes were by the Chinese and other countries. They voted for our, I looked at the guy showed me on a wheel, this wheel thing, this demonstration, actually two nights ago. This other group showed me how they did it now. He says, so you're telling me, take Fulton County, Georgia, and it didn't matter what paper was going into the machines. It's just, okay, you're going to get 17% for Donald Trump. You're going to get 73% or 83% for Biden. And they can do this on a wheel. And I've seen it. I've seen the mathematics.
My question is, I can understand one foreign actor being involved. Why would there be, I think, six, right? There's six.
Oh, there's even more
than
that. Why
is Germany involved? I don't get that.
Yeah, Germany, Italy. And here's another thing, too. It came out about the same time. The Italy, remember we had a guy, there was an affidavit that went around the social media too. The only way we were getting true news. And over in Italy, this guy admits he did it. He was one of the guys that did it. And he's got a sworn affidavit. Eric, this is true. This is true. So now you have this, all these foreign actors, it's that took and stole our election, but you got another guy that admits it. And he was in court in Italy. I did my due diligence and checked into all this. We have a blessing here that the best evidence of foreign interference happens to be the 100%, that this really happened. The most truthful evidence that you can, it's right there now. Here it is. That's why it was so important for me to get it to the president.
And the thing is, it's just so extraordinary to me that it would take you, a private citizen, a businessman, an entrepreneur, that you have to go to the White House to put something in front of him days before the inauguration of someone, it seems, the American people did not choose. Well, we're going to be right back, folks. I want to remind you that Mike Lindell and MyPillow are our major sponsor. If you go there, use the code ERIC. We're talking about some really dark stuff, but I'm glad we're at least talking about it. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Mike Lindell, CEO, founder of MyPillow, MyPillow.com. Mike, I want to say this before I let you respond. What bothers me, what looks like very, very powerful circumstantial evidence that would trigger an investigation is that since November 3rd, the way the Democrats and Joe Biden in particular have acted has not led me to believe that they have nothing to hide. In other words, they have done their very best to silence and crush their political opponents. I was knocked off Twitter twice for daring to suggest my own opinion on this kind of a thing. This isn't a free country, but people have come after both of us in all kinds of ways we don't have time to get into, but they've gone after you big time. That tells me everything I need to know. When people go at the cancel culture, which is cultural Marxism, that's when I know we're not dealing with nice Democrats who actually won. We're dealing with something much darker than that. So I want you to tell my audience, because when he told me this yesterday, I just got so angry listening to this, that they have come after you to try to shut you down because you're trying to get actual evidence of foreign interference in our election, something that every American should want to drop everything and find out what happened. They're saying, shut up. We don't want to hear it. What are they doing to you?
Well, you know, since November 4th, I have been all in, you know, looking for, I put millions of dollars of my own money into checking out every little rabbit hole. Well, I wasn't bothered so much then. There were a few things in the news that they'd, you know, slam me for, but this is different. This is, as soon as we found this foreign interference, like you say, it has went up a thousandfold. They are attacking my vendors that I do business with. Four box stores have dropped me and two are going to drop me this morning. They go after them. They're not real people. They're bots and Twitters and electronic people. Go after them. If you sell my pillow, we're going to do this to your store. We're leaving, you know, and they're going into the stores. Some of them are even physically going in, writing racists on my pillow boxes. Social media, Twitter's got me taken down, but they still control it. So they're actually putting things, posts up that aren't me. They got another Mike Lindell on another social media platform up there. They're saying stuff that's not me. You got Facebook, old Zuckerberg, he's worse than all of them. He's got me on there, you know, anything I'll put up, like I put this evidence up, man, that's taken down. And it's suppressing my, not just me, but my friends too. But I'm right now, it's like Mike Lindell, let's take him down. And they're putting out false things out there from the White House visit. You know, my thing with the White House visit was to show the president there was foreign interference. And a lawyer said, here's his options. You know, he might, this is just a lawyer's opinion, put some bullet points down and said, here's your options, because we're in kind of an anomaly in history. And we feel like the president might not have been getting all the information because, you know, he's shut down too. They've got him so, like in a box. You know, it's just.
I just want to say, Mike, as you know, I've been a strong advocate of this president. I've changed my opinion on adultery. Just kidding. But I've been an advocate of his policies and of his presidency. But if he had this information. If he had this information that foreign actors were trying to do this, in particular China, we all know that this would be the end of America, period. This is not just the loss of an election.
Right.
We see that the Marxist policies of the left are, as I say, the circumstantial evidence that they are that there's corruption, that they're saying, shut up, they're trying to shut us down. They've used the capital violence like a Reichstag fire just to say, no one can talk. Violence is threatened. If you even bring up this subject, you are part of insurrection, all kinds of nonsense. And so if the president knows this, the president whom I have supported very strongly, he would be obliged to do something about this, because in effect, if he doesn't do something about this, he would go down in history as the man who let America go down the drain. I mean, it seems to me, based on what you've told me and what I have been learning, that this president has an obligation to history not to allow this to happen.
Well, and, you know, and I told him too, the one thing that I told him, you know, I said, we're all getting attacked. Churches that backed him, people, anybody that indirectly backed him, people, they're getting attacked now. Think what would happen if Biden gets in inaugurated. And I mean, I don't even know. People are scared out there. They're very afraid. They're going to erase us. I mean, it's this is a communist attack on our country. At first, you know, early on, you know, you heard that, heard rumors about that, and I'm going, oh, come on, there's no way they interfered. They got in our, you know, maybe a little bit or something. Some countries that on social media, we all know that Twitter and Facebook are involved in this, that, you know, they can manipulate anything they want. That was my mind of foreign interference, you know. Well, then you find out you with this 100% evidence that we have, that this came from China and other countries. Now we all know it's an attack. And yes, a president would have to protect us. That's his number one thing, to protect us from an attack on our country. And everybody, I want to say this here, every single person, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you know, this isn't about politics. Now this is about them just choosing our lives for us. This is everybody. I have Democrat friends are going, Mike, is this true? And I'm going, I go, yeah, it's true. And this, and they're afraid too, because they didn't vote for that.
You know what it is, Mike? I'm going to write a piece about this. Americans are naive when it comes to evil, when it comes to communist, atheistic worldview. We've had it so good in this country. The only reason I know about this is because my parents lived through this. My parents saw the satanic evil of Marxism and communists when they were growing up. My mother was in East Germany. She risked her life and everything to leave East Germany at age 17 because she saw the wickedness of Marxism and communism. My father saw it during the Greek Civil War. And I say all this because people need to understand what we're up against. We're not talking about Joe Biden. We're talking at Chinese communists infiltrating this government and effectively changing everything. If the president does not act, he would himself, it seems to me, be guilty, dramatically guilty, if he doesn't act, if any of what you're saying is true. We'll be right back. Well, I'm sorry. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. Just a few minutes left with Mike Lindell. We're going to play this hour in both hours today because we think it's important. Mike, my producer, wrote a piece where he basically says that a governor, without asking anybody, can pick up the phone and give a stay of execution to somebody being executed. He can shut that down. He has the power. One person has the power. This president, it seems to me, has the power to act and to issue a stay of execution for the Republic, known as the United States of America. If this information that you have is true, and as I say, unfortunately, I'm totally convinced that it is true, then this president has an historic obligation to do something about this. He must do something about this. I don't know what he's going to do, but if he's worried about riots, I mean, what a joke. What are riots compared to the end of the United States of America? We had draft riots in the city where I'm broadcasting, you know, because people differed with Lincoln. Riots can happen. Sometimes they're inevitable, you know, unless you sell your soul and say, well, we want peace at all costs, just as Chamberlain did. Final words, Mike.
Well, I want everybody to know that this is the evidence. None of the evidence has been looked at by, you know, all the mistakes that were made where judges didn't look at it, where legislators made the wrong decisions, didn't even bother and look at it. We found out who our corrupt politicians were. I want to say this, just because this just came out, there's no statute of limitations. Well, we went past January 6th. We went past the 14th of December. There's no statute of limitations on something about, if you have a murder committed, there's no statute of limitation. This is a crime against humanity. We now know that it's China and other countries did this to us. Every American should want this looked at. You have to look at it. That's what we want. I know 100%. I've seen it now. Why do you think I can go all in? You put all in. Do you think I enjoy being attacked by every single media outlet known to man? But you know what? I want to say this. Do you know the overseas media? They're all for our president and for our country, because they know if we lose our country, they're losing their hope too. I've seen articles. They give me hope over there. They're going, you know, look at the evidence. Look at the evidence, you know. And this is all I can say is that God's got his hand in all of this. And I do believe when this is all, you know, whatever happens here, whatever decision the president makes, whatever direction we go here, I do believe God, you know, has his hand in this, and we are in the biggest revival in history. Things have to have, nobody looks for Jesus in times of where there's not, everything's going great. They look for it in times of hope, because he is our hope.
Wow. I got to tell you, you know, what you just said, it reminds me of something like Pearl Harbor. You know, when a foreign power that does not share our values on any level, that is a racist foreign power, completely different worldview, as the Japanese were, a very racist worldview, just like the Nazis. You have that in China. Their views are completely different. They're persecuting the Uyghur Muslims monstrously. The whole world should be up in arms over this. When people like, you know, the head of Google, the head of Twitter, when they turn a blind eye to this kind of human rights abuses, it's unbelievable. But the point is, when it comes to our shores, as it has now done, everything changes. If we are attacked, however we're attacked, such that we are existentially threatened and effectively wiped out by a foreign power, once again, the president of the United States has an obligation not to think about what he's going to do in 2024. God forbid that's what he's thinking about. He should think about what he can do as president of the United States right now, because history is going to judge him and no one else. We're out of time. Mike Lindell, God bless you. Folks, go to mypillow.com. It's an amazing product. And Mike, you're an amazing founder of that company. We're grateful for you. Thank you so much.
Hundreds of congressmen influenced by China.
Mr. Reagan.
A month ago, on December 5th, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal in which he announced that the Chinese government has targeted several dozen American congressmen. Several dozen. Several. That's like between 60 and 120 congressmen and senators. There are only 535 total members of Congress. To me, this seems like a pretty massive story. And from doing a little digging, I think it's far bigger than Ratcliffe has actually suggested. So here is what Ratcliffe wrote. As Director of National Intelligence, I am entrusted with access to more intelligence than any member of the U.S. government other than the President, and my office produces the President's daily brief detailing the threats facing the country. If I could communicate one thing to the American people from this unique vantage point, it's that the People's Republic of China poses the greatest threat to America today, and the greatest threat to democracy and freedom worldwide since World War II. He went on to say, the intelligence is clear. Beijing intends to dominate the US and the rest of the planet economically, militarily, and technologically. Many of China's major public initiatives and prominent companies offer only a layer of camouflage to the activities of the Chinese Communist Party. And finally, he said, this year, China engaged in a massive influence campaign that included targeting several dozen members of Congress and congressional aides.
Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe is sounding the alarm on the threat he believes China poses to the United States. In a rare op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, Ratcliffe called China, quote, the greatest threat to America today and the greatest threat to democracy and freedom worldwide since World War II.
He has access to the most highly classified information that is held by the U.S. government. And he told CBS News that there was foreign election interference by China, Iran, and Russia in November of this year.
America's outgoing intelligence chief, John Ratcliffe, in a new op-ed, warns that China is the greatest national security threat faced by the United States since World War II. Quote, the intelligence is clear. Beijing intends to dominate the U.S. and the rest of the planet economically, militarily, and technologically.
A longer-term, almost existential challenge is going to be China. I'm not saying you're going to have a war with China. I'm saying we want to prevent a war with China.
China does not share our values.
The State Department announced it is reducing visitor visas for Chinese Communist Party members and their family members from 10 years to 1 month due to their, quote, nefarious activities.
Now, Ratcliffe focused on a very specific indirect influence scheme. He said that the Chinese own some massive companies here in the United States, and these companies employ thousands of Americans. The scheme that Ratcliffe illustrated was one in which the Chinese would actually threaten the leader of a labor union, the leader of a labor union that represented the workers of a particular factory that the Chinese owned. And the Chinese would tell this union representative that if the union doesn't pressure that state's congressman in a certain way, then the factory would just be shut down and everybody would lose their job. So there's this sort of indirect influence scheme. The Chinese would tell the union boss to tell the congressman, this is what we need done. So it's indirect. There's a middleman. China pressures the unions, unions pressure Congress. And consider who labor unions usually do business with in Congress. That's right, Democrats. So I think we know which congressmen are the targets of this specific scheme. But here's where I think things get a little crazier. In 2015, the Chinese hacked into the electronic archives of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. They then downloaded a mind-boggling amount of sensitive personal data on federal employees.
The government announced Wednesday the breach into the Office of Personnel Management was worse than previously thought.
More than 21 million Americans had personal information stolen from government files in a data breach that was six times as large as originally disclosed.
Any federal employee from across all branches of government whose organization submitted service history records to OPM may have been compromised.
I blame the Obama administration for taking this issue not seriously enough. This is almost criminal negligence.
Criminal negligence, those are strong words.
This was the most significant breach of federal networks in U.S. history.
According to Joel Brenner, a former counterintelligence official, this compromised almost everyone with a U.S. security clearance. That would include, of course, congressmen. And why would these people be compromised? According to my research, in order to qualify for a security clearance, a background check must be done, and you must list every mistake you've ever made, right? Every crime, every embarrassing moment, if you were a former alcoholic, if you beat your wife, if you're having an affair, anything that can be used against you by a malevolent actor, an enemy of the state who might be able to leverage you using this kind of compromising information.
It included social security numbers, health information, even fingerprints.
But they also gained access to background checks and standard Form 86, which includes information about family members, psychological health, drug use, and criminal history.
The form that I had to fill out went on for almost 100 pages, everything about my background. And they have that for 21 million Americans, date of birth, social security number, foreign contacts, foreign trips, any problems you've ever had medically or psychologically, any addiction problems you ever had. They can use this information to blackmail people.
So basically, everybody's compromising information was all stored in their personnel files, the very files that were stolen by the Chinese. This was a gold mine for the Chinese government. They could now blackmail just about everyone in the federal government, and they could leverage them to do their bidding. This theft was so bad that it was called Cyber Pearl Harbor. This is the biggest espionage attack in American history by like a gazillion. So I think Ratcliffe was trying to be discreet. I think he was severely understating the threat with his example of indirect influence. Clearly, there is also direct coercion. I mean, one, they have compromising data on these congressmen, and two, blackmail is well within the moral parameters of the Chinese government. And consider the timing of Ratcliffe's op-ed. He published this after the election. I think Ratcliffe saw the writing on the wall. With Trump in command, the Chinese would be fought against. Chinese spies would be investigated, discovered, arrested, tried, convicted, and punished. With Biden in office, who knows what'll happen? Will Chinese spies even be investigated at all? Maybe. Maybe not.
We asked DNI Ratcliffe what his message was to the Biden team about China, and he urged them to see it for the threat that it is. He emphasized that he's taken the last 6 months to reallocate resources within the intelligence community away from Russia, away from counterterrorism, to focus on China. And he is urging this incoming team not to switch that back, Tanya.
And consider that Chinese spies and influence have been found in several of our universities.
The chairman of Harvard University's chemistry department arrested by FBI agents.
This FBI document highlights a case at Duke University in the lab of Dr. David Smith,
a Boston University researcher accused of being a secret operative of the Chinese military.
To steal U.S. intelligence is absolutely my boss's most important work.
Another Harvard researcher caught at the airport allegedly trying to smuggle biological materials to China. U.S. intelligence officials say America's world-class university system has become a soft target in the global espionage war with China.
My point is that this extends well beyond Washington, D.C. How many CEOs of major corporations are being blackmailed? Consider this. Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, these are massively powerful companies. They're powerful both because of the amount of money that they make, but also because of their ability to censor or promote information, news, and ideas. Of course, they're going to be targeted by bad actors who are comfortable using blackmail, threats, or intimidation. Of course, they're going to be targeted by China. Consider that every major social media platform, as well as other major companies like PayPal and Simon & Schuster, they've all shot off in the same trajectory recently. And it's precisely the same direction as the leftist authoritarians in Washington, D.C. It's the same direction that Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama have been advocating, total censorship of conservative ideas. And that trajectory, that direction, that's completely irrational. I mean, it seems strange to me that all of these very successful, very powerful people, they're all veering in that same direction of irrationality. I don't think that this is just a matter of groupthink or mass delusion. I think that this is something far more sinister. I think that all of these entities are being coerced by the same source. The CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, just wrote a rambling explanation of why Twitter banned Donald Trump. Many have noted that he contradicts himself throughout this rant and that it doesn't make that much sense. Despite stating at the beginning of the thread that banning Trump was the, quote, right decision for Twitter, as he goes on, he seems to contradict himself more and more. It's very revealing. Consider, as I read this, the possibility that Jack Dorsey, perhaps, didn't want to ban Trump, but rather, he didn't have a choice. Consider the possibility that somebody forced him to enact the ban. Here's his post. He writes, "The reason I have so much passion for Bitcoin is largely because of the model it demonstrates, a foundational internet technology that is not controlled or influenced by any single individual or entity. This is what the internet wants to be, and over time, more of it will be. We are trying to do our part by funding an initiative around an open, decentralized standard for social media. Our goal is to be a client of that standard for the public conversation layer of the internet. We call it Blue Sky." And about Blue Sky, he writes Twitter is funding a small independent team of up to 5 open source architects, engineers, and designers to develop an open and decentralized standard for social media. The goal is for Twitter to ultimately be a client of this standard. And then he continues with his thread. "This will take time to build. We are in the process of interviewing and hiring folks, looking at both starting a standard from scratch or contributing to something that already exists. No matter the ultimate direction, we will do this work completely through public transparency." That, what I just read, that was included in Jack Dorsey's explanation for banning Trump. For a company that censors the hell out of conservatives and has actually taken the radical step of banning the President of the United States himself, it seems strange that the CEO of that very company would include in his explanation for that ban an impassioned plan for an utterly unregulated free speech platform. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe Jack drank the Kool-Aid. Maybe he's a true believer. Maybe he genuinely buys into all this leftist insanity. But I'm not so sure. I'm convinced that Twitter's ban on Trump was not the decision of Jack Dorsey. So if I'm right, who is issuing him his orders? Is it the Chinese? Is it the FBI? Is it John Podesta? Is it Nancy Pelosi? Who knows? And look, stepping back a moment, looking broadly at this entire web of corruption, I don't know how many people in DC are compromised by blackmail or bribes or intimidation or by some other form of coercion. I don't know how many CEOs are compromised. I don't know how many scientists are. I don't know who it is that's coercing them. China is definitely doing a lot of it. We know that. They're probably the biggest players. But who else might be? Corrupt politicians, the FBI, ideological billionaires? Whatever the case, it appears that we are now living in a time of more corruption and coercion in politics than ever before in history. And it appears that this will be the death of our democracy. We are in a war at the moment. It's a war of information and control. I'm fighting the only way I can. I'm trying to expose as much of it as possible. Hopefully, with the help of my fellow patriots, we will emerge victorious. Stay strong, America. These are dark days. Good night.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.